Podtecular, episode 318, Halo 4 Ranks Revealed, for October 11th, 2012. Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And we have a blast from a past returning this week, Jay Lewis.
Hello.
Holy crap, how long has it been since you've been on this podcast?
It hasn't been that long, like 6 months, right?
It's been a while, that's for sure.
It was at least 2012.
That is true. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I've enjoyed watching all the PAX videos.
Yeah, what else have you been doing? Give us a little update.
Working. That's you said talk effectively. So,
but I'm asking really, you. So,
answer
the freaking question. We have a couple minutes.
I kind of work like 3 jobs. I still work at Best Buy for most of you guys. I have another job where I work like IT. I build computers, fix them, program just a little bit of everything. This general IT dude at a place called Accelerated Claims. They do like health. We do healthcare stuff, and I'm trying to do more of my own type of business where I make websites for companies and things. And so that's doing pretty good. So hopefully I get more work doing that, and I phase out the other two.
So very nice, very nice. You enjoy it? Is it something?
Yeah. I mean, I guess my long term goal is still. If anybody remembers, I'm pretty sure more people listen now.
So. A lot more people listen now. Yes.
I still wanted to make games, you know. I'm just trying to get my programming skills up a little more and more until, you know, I can apply it somewhere. I applied at CCP. They're like 5 minutes from where I live. They're the guys that make Eve. They basically set it up. So I applied and they sent
very
me
very nice.
Thank you for my emails. So.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Speaking of games, Halo 4. Specifically, Halo 4 Ranks. The Waypoint Bulletin got released today instead of yesterday. Yesterday, Waypoint was actually undergoing some maintenance, which, in my opinion, I think is just an excuse for Jess not to get her stuff done on time. But I'll leave that up to you guys to decide. But we did get it released today, and there's all the juicy bits about the Halo 4 ranking system that you could want. A lot of people have been asking for this information for a long time. Now we have it. And we're going to take a quick deep dive into all the little tidbits of information that we're getting. So running down the basics, it's a basic 1 to 50 kind of ranking system. That's your kind of what we've had in the past with Halo 3. Halo 2.
I think there's one main difference. It's kind of like, you know, it seems like ranks are based upon how much XP you have, and you can't really lose XP. So it's
right.
Kind of like you hit a 30, you're never going to go back to 20.
So I was getting to that point.
Sorry.
You make a good point, though. But yeah, the ranks in Halo 4 are experience-based. They are a lot more objective-based and based on what you do in the game and how you complete objectives. It's you can't really get up on experience just by killing people over and over again like you couldn't reach. Unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people, at least on the competitive side, are necessarily going to be too happy. I think they'll be okay with it, but there's no real evidence of a ranking system for Halo 4 that's based purely off of skill. They did say, however, that you will increase in your rank faster if you have higher skill, but there's nothing really representative of skill in the Halo 4 ranking system. It's just like Reach in that it's a baseline that's set on experience that you get. And competitive players out there, if you listen to this, let us know what you think about that. I know you guys were really asking for a skill-based ranking system, and the fact that we're not getting one, how does that make you feel? So write us in, submissions at podtacular.com. Let us know. We'll talk about it on our next show when we have time to. What are you guys' thoughts? Do you think that Halo 4 needed some kind of skill-based ranking system, or do you think this XP-based ranking system is going to suffice from here on out? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I'll go first. I wouldn't say specifically to me it suffices. Maybe for what 343's vision is of the game, it might suffice. I'm one of those guys that like to, you know, play competitively or whatnot. So I personally would have liked to seen some kind of system where it makes sense, where, you know, if you were like in Halo 2, it was impossible. If you were 30 or over, you were pretty dang good. And in Halo 3, you know, 50 wasn't that difficult to get. I mean, I personally never got it. A lot of people did. And you kind of knew if you were like a 45 to 50, that meant you were pretty good. And it seems like, you know, with Reach, you couldn't really tell. I mean, I've got a cool armor. That just means I play a lot of games. I could see for like the first month where it might make a difference, or at least until January. But after that, it's not really going to make a difference for what your rank is, because if you play a lot, you're going to get there. So personally, I'm guessing they didn't announce everything because the game's not out. But if this is the only kind of level or rank or XP you're going to get, I'm disappointed. But, you know, I'm not playing it, so you may not even need to know, you know, what our ranks are. Maybe like Halo 2, where we just play a lot of custom games again.
But, well, I think a big thing to point out, at least a big difference that I see between the Halo Reach ranking system and the Halo 4 ranking system, is that you get more rewarded for your skill and how you play. And there's also a big focus on playing game types and not just slaying on every possible moment. So the people that are more skilled at Halo are definitely going to rank up faster. And probably for the first 6 months, maybe a year or so, you're definitely going to see a lot of the professional players and the players that are highly skilled at Halo 4 peak out in their Spartan ranks above other people. Now, it doesn't really give a good sense of skill, because you may just be good at, say, big team battle, and if you just play that all day long, you could rank up maybe pretty quickly in there.
If Brent doesn't have anything to say, it seems like that your points, your XP, doesn't really justify skill. It's more like kind of justifies your commitment to the game in one way or another. Like,
I mean, they said skill was a factor, though. They did say skill was a factor in how many points you receive.
Well, it's a factor in how quickly you progress. But, I mean, ultimately, after, like, maybe a year, like you said, everybody who had spent any time playing Halo 4, regardless of skill, are probably going to have all of the weapons. They're probably going to be SR50 or above, because they're doing all the specializations.
Right.
So it's kind of meaningless in a way. To me, they just implemented this system as an excuse to implement their progression system, where they're, you know, handing out weapons and armor abilities and tactical packages and support packages at different levels of your gameplay. So, you know, once you hit, we'll get into it later, but once you're SR3, you get your first armor ability. I mean, the choice to choose your armor ability. And then when you're SR7, you get to choose your tactical package. And then when you're SR12, you get to choose your support package, you know, just trying to kind of divvy up different unlockables at different points of the game as you keep playing. They just want to keep you playing for as long as they can.
Did they say at which Spartan rank you get your COD piece back?
you have your COD 47. Piece.
That's 47.
It's not SR69? Sorry,
36.
Yes, I did just do that.
That would be appropriate.
That was kind of inappropriate, but sorry.
Oh, chicken wow wow.
Let's go ahead and kind of get into the thick of the bulletin now. We've kind of danced around a few topics, but let's
go deep.
Let's go deep. Let's go down from top to bottom here.
Going down, Captain.
So they call it a progression system, initially, not a ranking system, where you progress based on XP. So that kind of goes into details on, or it gives light into why they're not doing skill-based, is they're looking at how you progress through the game, not how good you are at the game, which is kind of what I think Bungie did with Halo Reach, because I didn't want to necessarily discourage anybody from playing it, because there's definitely been some arguments I've heard on other podcasts saying that if you see someone higher than you and if you can't quite get to the rank that you want to get to, you get discouraged and you stop playing. And that was an issue for some people in Halo 3, where with Halo Reach, it's just the more you played, the higher rank you got. And you could go as slow as possible. Maybe if you weren't that good in the game, you'd still go up gradually. Or if you were really good at the game, you would just go up really quickly.
Well, for me in Halo 2, it was an excuse to play even better. I mean, once you get to those, to your highest rank, and you start noticing that the matches are getting hard, you know, that's that gives you an incentive to try hard, you know, to try your best to win each match, because you know that each match is going to edge you even closer to the next rank.
Yep.
And that rank had a meaning, you know. I mean, like Greg said earlier, 30 and up's kind of where you get into the top tier of Halo players, and then once you get into the 40s and things, that's when stuff got real, you know. I mean,
stuff just got real, son.
Just got real. But it gave you incentive. It gave you bragging rights, you know. I mean, nowadays, like in Halo Reach, your that little emblem next to your name basically means nothing. It just means that you played Halo Reach for a really, really long time.
Right. Especially if you're one of those that are an inheritor.
Yeah. I mean, and that's not necessarily saying that you're unskilled if you're a high rank, because if you played that long, then there's a good chance that you like Halo and you might be pretty good at it. And, you know, I mean, you might have ranked up fast because you're winning matches, getting kills, stuff like that.
It seems like that if they just implemented two things, and I don't know how easy it is, you know, if they kind of just implemented a way so that there was some kind of skill-based rank, and then if they added some kind of way of adding a clan system that everybody would just shut up. I don't know how hard it is, but it seems like if they just added those two things into the game, it would make a lot of people, you know, just stop complaining. Probably, I don't even know if they care people are complaining. I mean, I know.
We gotta save something for Halo 5. Clan systems in Halo 5.
I hope they do.
Well, that would be awesome.
Aside from all the excuses that they've had in the past where Microsoft doesn't allow clan-like systems in games.
Can I just interrupt real fast?
Yeah.
Halo is Microsoft's cash cow.
I know.
They would allow them to do anything. If they wanted to, like, have some system where you were able to bet on matches and it were, like, legal in certain countries, they would let them do it. Because Halo is the moneymaker for Microsoft.
Money.
I don't get the excuse that... I mean, it's 343i. They're Microsoft's favorite developer because they're going to make a ton of money off of them. You know, they have probably the most amount of freedom that any developer has underneath Microsoft.
I guess you would think. I mean, we don't work there, so...
Well, I mean, I don't work there, but I'm assuming, you know, it's their biggest franchise. When you think Xbox, you think Halo. I mean, basically, it's Microsoft's Mario.
Yeah.
I mean, true.
That's 100% correct. I mean, I remember, I mean, I guess because we all had it, you know. I mean, they're not going to take theater away. They're not going to take Forge away, because back in Halo 2, I remember when clans went away in Halo 2, like it was before the game was done, before Halo 3 came out, and it was just like we kind of just stopped playing as much as we used to, and I don't really know why. I mean, I'm not going to say it was because of that one thing that happened, but I mean, Brent probably remembers Pro B. We play friggin' every day.
Oh yeah, sometimes we get like match made against Pro A. It was like funny because we weren't even trying to. We'd just go into like big team battle or something and end up playing against Pro A, like because we'd always go in huge teams, and because you were in a clan, even if they weren't on your friends list, you knew that they were someone you could play with. You know, so you could just jump into a match with them, and they didn't have to be on your friends list, but they were in your clan, so that was great. And you know, you had a big team because of that, and you could go into big team battle with a full team of eight. You know, I mean, nowadays we can only really do that during Monday night matchmaking. So
yeah, I mean, it's just I don't know if Dustin really, I mean, you probably know a certain extent, but I mean, man, you don't, I mean, unless you were there playing that game every day, like Brent and me and Lone Banana Phone and Dowpex.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was not around during those days.
I mean, that was what everybody did every day. I mean,
well, you also have to look at what was available at the time on the Xbox.
Yeah, that's the only
thing. I mean, Halo, Halo 2 was... it was one of the first live-enabled games. I don't think it was the first, but it was definitely the biggest live-enabled game for the Xbox. Yeah.
I mean, I think when it came out, it was pretty much just that, Ghost Recon, Crimson Skies, and Rainbow.
Yeah.
Well, Call of Duty 4 hadn't come out yet either. It didn't have any major competition, because now you've got, like, Battlefield and Call of Duty, and... I mean, I guess you could even say Gears of War. You know,
you could probably throw, like, Team Fortress in there and stuff.
Well, I mean, it's not Xbox, on the Xbox. You know? I mean, but yeah, I mean, if you're playing Team Fortress, you're obviously probably not playing your Xbox, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get on back on track here a little bit. Going back to the progression system, it's pretty much exclusively XP-based, but it is enhanced kind of by your skill. So the better you perform in the games, you'll definitely go up quicker in your Spartan ranks.
This sounds like something for like school.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're learning these folks on some Halo 4 ranking system.
That's what I want. Like when I finish a game, I want to be graded out of 100. You know, given like A or like B ranks. Like you made a B minus on this match.
You mean like Crazy Taxi? I don't know if you ever played that.
No, I did not.
I played it a little bit.
Yeah. At the end, you got like, oh, F rated. Oh, you stink.
All right, cool. So let's get into your Spartan 4 career. You enroll as a recruit when you first go into war games. So similar like in Halo Reach, when you go into matchmaking, you enroll as a recruit. And this is the starting point where you start off your war games career. And as such, when you are a recruit, you are issued the base pretty much loadout, which is an assault rifle, a magnum, frag grenade, and the recruit armor, emblem, visor, and stance. So there are stances now that go with your visual appearance, and the stance that comes up when someone views your player card. So in the past, it's been you just standing there with an assault rifle in your arm, so now you can actually have different stances to kind of portray a certain attitude about your Spartan.
I wonder if there's a Disco Fever stance.
That would... Oh my gosh, I can see it now.
That would be great. That would be interesting.
So, I think stances are an interesting addition to it. It's not something that's like game changer, but it definitely is a way to show off a little bit more of your playing style, I think.
Is there a stance Maybe. We can get the guy to take his helmet off and we can see what Chief looks like?
Probably not. And it's not Chief. It's your Spartan 4. It's not Chief.
That'd be cool if we could do like in Chief's a Rainbow Spartan 6. Chief's Spartan 2. Like in Rainbow 6 where you could scan your head. That'd be cool if you can get a stance where he takes his helmet off.
It's your face.
Yeah. That's my stance.
I could just see somebody like taking their pants down in front of the camera.
Like, drop your pants!
Oh, you just gave me the idea.
Yeah. So, the default recruit is, it's pretty standard stuff. You don't get any armor ability, tactical package, or support upgrade, though, to start off with.
No.
You actually unlock those, as Brent said, along the way.
Yeah, I think
when we get to the loadout section.
Like speaking, I don't know if we've gotten this far, so I may be overstepping a little bit, but it says you can't really pick a specification until you reach a certain level. Is okay if I say that now? You
gotta reach 50.
Okay. Well, I was just gonna.
Are you talking about specialization?
Yeah, I mean it says that in here. That
You have to get to Spartan rank 50 before you can enroll in the specialization.
And then does that like, I wonder if that would, could you only have one? That's it, right?
Have you not been listening to the show?
I mean, I didn't know
have
if there was like a
potential. Have you not been reading your Halo 4 information?
I didn't know if there was like a potential where you could get more than one.
No, there's like not.
Pick one and that's it, rest of your life.
You know, people expect us to be knowledgeable on the podcast and you're filling that role right now.
It's over. Podcast is over. We're just shutting off right now.
It's all right. I'll give him some grace. He hasn't been around in a while. He's a little rusty.
I don't listen to the show either.
Yeah, but at least you know what you're talking about.
You can choose one at a time. It's for each specialization has 10 ranks. Once you get to the 10th rank, you get a I think it's a support mod.
And well, it's throughout the specialization that you're in. You unlock certain things at each rank in that specialization.
Yeah, but so, I thought that like the mod came at the very last, so you got to hit like rank 10 in your specialization to get it. And then you can switch specializations and start on a new one. And you can get all the way up to SR 130. So each specialization...
I guess we just dropped down to the specializations part. But okay, yeah, keep going.
Well, I'm just explaining now. I mean, if we're going to be talking about it...
We'll hop around as we need to.
So ultimately, the highest rank you can get is SR 130, assuming you hit rank 50, did all of the specializations up through their 10th rank, then you're done. Good for you. But it says there might be a reward or two waiting for those who hit SR 130. So maybe like a prestige mode, a la Call of Duty?
I would assume that would take quite a bit of time to get to SR 130.
Yeah. Well, you'd hope so.
I would hope that, at least for pro players, it would possibly be somewhere around maybe 6 months. Like, say, if a pro player was playing pretty much on a daily basis, I think 6 months out would probably be a good point to reach SR 30. And I'm wondering that once you hit level 50, are the ranks from 1 to 10 on each specialization, are they the same number of experience, or do they still, does it take more experience to go from one level to the next? Because that would change how you would choose the order in which you use your specializations.
So you're trying to say that after you get to Engineer 10, does Tracker 1, do you have to get more, or is it the same as Engineer 1? That's what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if I had to guess, I mean, guessing, assuming, you know what that means. I would assume it would just, one on all of them are pretty close to the same thing, I would guess.
I would think, but that means whenever you enroll in the specialization, it's going to take quite a bit to go from 1 to 10 in that specialization, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how they plan on doing that, whether it's going 1 to 10 in each specialization is going to be the same, or if it's going to be... increased as you go up the total ranking system.
Yeah. So is it going to be harder to get from...
Exponential, that was the word I was looking for.
To get from 50 to 60, or is it going to be harder to get from like 80 to 90 than it is 50 to 60?
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, so you have to choose which order you want to take them.
So you'd want to take Pioneer first, obviously, if that's the case. Because Pioneer has the mod that gives you extra experience as you play. It increases the rate of your experience gain. So, like, right. I don't know how it works, but, like, say if you got, like, 10 experience for a kill, they might give you, like, 12 or 13 or something. I don't know what the numbers are, but you would want to choose that one first, obviously.
Correct.
Dropping knowledge.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Pioneer would be... And actually, for... Well, so there's actually a slight caveat to that as well, because you only have Pioneer unlockable day one if you get the limited edition of Halo 4. The only two that are available... Money. Yeah. Well, you can't buy anymore now. They're pretty much sold out everywhere.
Yeah.
I got mine. So the only two that are available at launch are Wetwork and Operator. So, I mean, you only have the two choices. The Operator is the... it's the driving one.
Vehicle enhancement.
Whenever you're driving, yeah. So it's reduced effect on EMPs, and it doesn't take... It takes a little bit less damage whenever you get hit on something, and then... I'm still a little confused on this. It says you also get to recharge the health of your vehicle slightly faster, so... Like, are vehicles self-healing now?
I mean, IGN wrote that, though, didn't they?
Well, I'm looking at the Halo Wikia right now, and they have that
written
there.
Well, I mean, they got that from...
Probably. So.
I think they got it from the IGN article, and to be fair, IGN is not the definitive source of any type of knowledge.
I want
to
say it's more you don't take as much damage. Yeah, like maybe you take 2 or 3% less damage when you're being shot. I think that's what it means, or what they meant to say. It just doesn't make sense that you have a vehicle that's regenerating health. And then Wetworks is the other one, and it gives you the ability to have faster assassination animations. And whenever someone looks at you with Promethean vision, you show up as a red outline and not a full red body that you would normally see.
I mean, they to me both sound pretty good ones to choose.
They're all right. If I had to pick between the two, I would probably go with Operator because I'm not much of a stealth player. So what works would not necessarily be the one for me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really use assassinations, but I think if I'm going to have to judge on what Promethean vision, you know, like how much it actually exposes you. But I don't see Operator, you know, in my opinion. I haven't used it, you know, but meaning as much in the type of games that I like to play. You know, I like to play like 4v4.
Right.
But I mean, if we end up playing a lot of big teams, then yeah, then it makes a big difference.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We've already discussed using Pathfinder in conjunction with Operator to make an ultimate vehicle.
We did.
So,
and we talked a little bit on the Halo Council podcast as well.
So imagine like 4 different teams of Operator and Pathfinders in 4 Warthogs driving around the map, just dominating.
You think it multiplies?
No, I'm just saying in each Warthog, they would dominate because first of all, the Warthog's going to take less damage. It's not going to have as worse, you know, EMP effects on it.
Right.
And the Pathfinder has a decreased turret cooldown, so they're just going to be firing the entire time. And you got 4 Warthogs out there, you know, 8 players on a team, you know, 2 players and a Warthog.
There's not going to be any map in multiplayer that has that, though.
Well, I mean, why not? Think about
it. 4 Warthogs?
Yeah, think about it. In Coag, in Blood Gulch, there's 4 Warthogs. Not on the same base, but you can run over to their base and grab their Warthogs.
I guess that's true, yeah.
I mean, that's how I always dominated in BTB, was you ran over and stole the other team's vehicles.
Yeah, that's true. All right, you have a point. But yeah, that's the specializations. So let's kind of jump back up here to where was next, which was the ranks. Well, we kind of covered the ranks, but there's a couple other things that we didn't touch on quite yet. The base rank is definitely, it's like we said before, 1 to 50, with the specializations being 10 ranks each, with a total of 130 that you can possibly get.
Right now.
Right. And you get Spartan points whenever you rank up, and those are things that you can use to spend on customizing your Spartan, which can be helmets, stances, emblems, weapons, all that stuff.
Earrings.
I don't know, do Spartans wear earrings?
I don't know. Can army people? I would assume army people can. So.
Well, women can. They can only just have 1 piercing, though.
Oh.
Can it be anywhere on the body?
I think... No, it's ear piercings. Or at least, like, at least I think piercing? That's how it is. I could be wrong.
Like a nose piercing?
I think it's ears, dude.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm disappointed. Oh. Ray, I need to change that UNSC policy.
I don't know. UNSC may be different. I'm thinking just like from people I work with, what they're allowed to wear. So my view of it could be slightly skewed. Let's see. Where were we? Oh, Spartan ranks. Full suite of things that you can unlock, the armor, weapons, helmets, all that stuff, they're all available once you hit Spartan rank 26, but you will not have enough Spartan points to buy everything until you hit Spartan rank 50.
Hmm. That's a lot of points.
So keep that in mind.
Yes.
Well, let's see. You have to get to, what, Inheritor before you could unlock everything in Halo Reach?
Like, how long it might take, what it might take, the same amount of times it takes you to reach?
They haven't said specifically that. I would assume that with the specializations, it's going to be a little less time than that, if not probably significantly less.
Yeah.
Because that's...
I haven't hit Inheritor.
Long. Yeah.
Granted, I haven't played on the same gamertag the whole time I've been playing Reach, so if I mix the 2 tags together, I'd probably be there right now. But there's some people, I don't remember when the first Inheritor was gained, but I think it was definitely at least a year before there we saw an inheritor in Halo Reach. And going back to what I said earlier, I want to say a good player who is really good at the game, like an MLG person, I would want to say they can hit Spartan Rank 50 maybe within 6 months. I think that's kind of a good target to set. But on top of that, you get XP by playing in war games, of course. Spartan Ops, completing each level of a commendation, completing challenges, and then using Forge. Now, they didn't include campaign. So any campaign stuff that you do, since it's not part of war games, will not count to your Spartan rank. This is different how it was in Halo Reach, where if you did campaign, you actually got credits toward your Spartan into your rank. But this does not work the same way in Halo 4. Using the Forge, they have come out and said that you're going to get more experience on how you use Forge. I'm not sure how they're going to be able to really judge that. I'm guessing they have figured out some kind of system. But I want to say we're probably going to see a lot more experience come out of using Forge.
Like if you, you mean like building maps and changing mm-hmm. stuff? Okay.
Because in Halo Reach, if you played a custom game or if you did Forge, it was basically based on time in your rank. So for custom games, if you played an actual custom game that operated like an actual game, like Capture the Flag or Team Slayer, you would get 10 times the amount of the rank that would be a number. So if you were rank, I don't know what the actual rank is in Reach, but say in Inheritor is rank 45. If you played a custom game, then you would get 450 credits. I want to say, and it seems like from what 343 has said, that when you use Forge, it's going to be significantly more than that.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
They're going to like encourage you to use it instead of ignoring like I did.
All right. Next up on the list for the bulletin this week is loadouts. And the first thing that it addresses is something that Brent already brought up, and that was the unlock of the armor abilities, the tactical packages, and the support upgrades for the armor ability that gets unlocked at Spartan Rank 3. So anyone who remembers playing Halo Reach, it took maybe one or two games to rank up two slots. And I'm assuming you come in as a Spartan Rank 1. And if not, I'm sure it does not take much to get to a Spartan Rank 1. So on the first day of playing, you're probably going to unlock an armor ability. And for those of us who probably play Halo quite a bit, and that includes all of us,
yes,
we're probably going to get our tactical package within one or two days of playing, unless you plan on taking the day off and plan on playing Halo 4 all day. In which case, you'll probably get through to Spartan Rank 12 to where you unlock your support upgrade as well.
I assume that you'll get to SR12, which is the support package, pretty fast.
I think for most people, it'll probably take maybe a week, week and a half.
I'm saying maybe a day for like hardcore Halo players.
I'm talking about taking an average of the whole audience that's going to play Halo 4. I want to say maybe about a week.
But I'm saying the amount of experience you get during a match is the same across levels. It's not like the amount of experience you're getting, you know, continues to grow exponentially as you gain level.
The first batch of levels,
each you're going to go through those.
No, each different rank has more XP that you have to get to the next one.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So, yeah. I mean, you're still going to get, like, what, 10 XP a kill? You know,
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, the first batch of levels up to, like, level 20 is going to go extremely fast. And then as you continue to level up, it's going to take longer and longer and longer, just like it did in Reach.
Yeah, just like it did in Reach, except it's probably going to be a bit faster than it was in Reach.
So, I mean, we don't even know how fast you can get to SR12,
right,
to be honest. You might be able to get it today. I don't know.
If they were smart about it, they don't want people to just instantly get there.
Yeah.
I think if you're good and you're a hardcore Halo fan, you plan on playing all day on November 6th, then yes, it's very likely you will get to Spartan Rank 12 day one. But for people that just kind of play this on like maybe for 2 or 3 hours after work or so. I think it might take them maybe a week, week and a half to get to Spartan rank 12. That'd be my guess.
I'm just saying having a support package would give you a distinct advantage against anybody who doesn't have one. I mean, you just have an advantage because you have something available to you that other people don't have if they right. aren't SR12.
And I think so that's one of the reasons why they had the unlock so low. So it's not out of place for too long.
I'm just saying I don't think 343 wants somebody to like go in and they haven't been playing Halo for a whole long time. You know, I mean, they bought the game day one, but maybe they only play like 3 or 4 hours a day, if that.
Right, right.
I mean, the people that are SR12 who have been playing, you know, for 48 hours straight and are on the verge of death, you know, I mean, those people are going to have a very big advantage over the people who don't have the tactical package and the support package. And they're just going to, I mean, I don't know if they're going to dominate the people who don't have those things, but assuming that the reason they're playing for so long is because they love Halo, they already have an advantage because they're probably more skillful.
Fair point.
And second, they have these things available to them, so they're just going to dominate these casual players. And to me, I think 343 wants to hold on to those casual players.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just get dominated in the first week, you know, and you lose match after match after match because somebody has, you know, two different gameplay elements available to them that you don't have, you're going to leave. And that doesn't seem like 343 wants that. So they're going to give you the tactical package and the support package as fast as they can.
And I agree. Yeah. On top of those unlocks, you get the loadout unlocks at rank 6, 14, 26, and 41. So when you first start off, you just have the one loadout because you really don't have any other options. But at Spartan rank 6, you get another one. At Spartan rank 14, you get another one. At 26, and then 41. I think with... What was it? With limited edition, you get 5 additional loadouts at start, right?
I have no clue, but that sounds kind of not overpowered, but having the ability to, you know, change your loadout based on the scenario you find yourself in, that's a pretty big advantage.
Right. Well, I think up to... So, at Spartan Rank 6, you're going to have 2. At that point, you're really not going to have many things unlocked. So having the extra loadouts is just really pointless until you really start getting into things.
Well, they've already said that you're going to unlock, like, the BR and the DMR pretty quick.
Right.
And, I mean, those are two different scenarios, too. Like, there might be a scenario where if I know I'm going to be playing long range, I'm going to pick the DMR over the BR just because it's better at long range. If I know I'm going to be playing close range, maybe I want to switch to the BR.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're really, really close range, do the AR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to visual customization. You can unlock visual things, so helmets, armor pieces, your different stances. And you can do that by earning a specific rank. You can do that by ranking in a specialization. So we touched on this a little bit earlier, but with specializations, you get the armor set, the helmet, the different mods for your armor that you can get, and those are probably all unlocked at some specific rank within that specialization. You can also get it for mastering a commendation, which means getting the highest possible rank in a commendation. So in Halo Reach, it was you started off with nothing, then you did iron, bronze, silver, gold, onyx. So once you would get to something like onyx, then that's when you would unlock some more armor pieces. And then you also get one for completing a waypoint goal. Now, there's not anywhere in the bulletin where they go into detail on what a waypoint goal is, but it's probably a certain set of tasks that you can do. And upon completing those tasks, you get an unlock for one of these visual pieces that you can add to your Spartan.
Well, I think that kind of like in Halo Reach, you know, how they have that special set of armor and waypoint that you would get for getting certain achievements or certain,
yeah,
I don't remember how
yeah.
it was done. I think that's kind of what the waypoint goal is.
Right, but I think it's
maybe
going to go
like,
a little beyond just achievements.
I don't know. It might be. I hope it is, but
so,
that's the only thing that I could possibly think a waypoint goal would be. Because when I think of Halo Waypoint, I think of the Waypoint app in Xbox, you know, and that actually gave you special armor if you'd
right, you had to go into Waypoint and actually unlock some armor for Halo Reach to use.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just going to go beyond achievements, though. I really hope it does.
I hope it does.
Yeah. Next thing was specializations, but we already covered that. Commendations. They say there are over 120 different commendations, and they vary to specific weapons, specific enemies, specific game types. So there are definitely a tons more than there was in Halo Reach. A lot.
Teabagging commendation.
I wonder how that would work.
It wouldn't. Like, because everybody...
So just like the number of teabags that you can get, the number of unique teabags?
Yeah, like how many...
Revenge teabags?
It would have to be in
long-lasting teabags?
Like number of times you crouched. So like 25... crouches over an enemy. Mm-hmm.
And then there would be maybe like a humiliation one where you kill someone who is teabagging one of your fallen comrades or something like that.
Yeah.
That would be funny. The commendations definitely do last longer than the specializations because it just takes a while. Even the ones in Reach, I'm only, I want to say, 40% through them. It just takes a long time, so I think that's one thing that's going to keep some people around as well. Challenges are next up on the list. We got these introduced in Halo Reach, and it's taken a pretty significant overall haul for Halo 4. The challenges break down into four different categories: campaign, wargame, Spartan Ops, and Waypoint. And within those, we have two weekly challenges for campaign. For the war games, we have two daily challenges, two weekly challenges, and one monthly challenge. So I'm expecting a huge XP payout for the monthly war games one. At least I would hope. Spartan Ops, you get six challenges, and I'm assuming that's on a per week basis. So per episode of Spartan Ops, you have six specific challenges for that episode. And then for Waypoint, it says exclusive daily challenges for war games. So that means you're probably going to have to come on the waypoint, figure out what the challenges are, and then maybe turn them in like you have to do it with custom challenges right now. It looks like that may be 343's way of trying to push you into being more interactive with your stats online, having that whole integration experience be part of your core Halo 4 experience. And of course, you don't have to do them. They're just there optionally. But for people that really want to rank up quickly and get as much XP as possible, it's definitely something that people are going to want to look out for. And talking about more XP down on the list next is talking about the Mountain Dew and Doritos double XP program. So a lot of you have probably, if you eat Doritos and drink Mountain Dew, you've seen these advertised on the bags of chips and bottles of Mountain Dew already, and you have probably started entering in codes. Some of you probably have a lot of them. There's the details on the site. I honestly, since I don't drink Mountain Dew and I really don't like Doritos that much, I don't care. But there's definitely options to get double EXP for matches that you'll have on launch of Halo 4. There's two websites that you can go to, doxp.com or doritosxp.com, where you can enter in these codes that you get on the bottles and bags, and you can use it to renew your double XP matches. I did not read this specifically, but I think for each code you put in, gives you one match where you earn double EXP. So say if you entered in 10 codes, the first 10 games you play in Halo 4, you earn double EXP.
So eat a lot of Doritos and drink a lot of Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy your double XP, fatty.
And then there's also Mega XP, which is where you, when you buy Mountain Dew and Doritos together, it looks like it's at Walmart exclusively. So if you get 24 pack of Mountain Dew with a 10.5 or an 11.5 inch or ounce bag of Doritos, enter the codes that you get from those together, and you get 12 matches of double EXP from just those codes. And then apparently with Halo 4 games that are sold at Walmart, you will get a code with those. And if you enter that code along with the Mountain Dew and Doritos code from the 24-pack and the 10.5 and 11.5-ounce bag, you get 38 matches of double EXP. So
what if I take a bag of Doritos, open it up, then take a can of Mountain Dew, pour it into the bag of Doritos, and just like shove my face into it? Do I get like 48 double XP matches?
I don't think it quite works that way.
What if I send in a photo to Pepsi Company? Will they give me 48 double XP matches?
That's something that you have to take up with them. I cannot answer that. I don't know if 343 can answer that, but yeah, good luck, I guess. Finally, second to last thing on the bulletin. Take that back. They have a comparison of the UNSC Infinity versus the UNSC Forward Unto Dawn. And the graphic on there is somewhat breathtaking because the Forward Unto Dawn is this toothpick compared to the Infinity, which is like a freaking huge, like a tennis ball can. Those are the best comparisons I can come up with, which is kind of silly, but
it's big.
It's huge. The infinity is
massive.
It is large and in charge. It's got 4,800 Archerpod missiles on it. Is that right? Basically,
it has a lot of stuff.
It has
on it.
24 by 350 M42 Archerpods. So it has 350 pods and then 24 missiles per pod. That's the secondary armament. Primary armament is 8 MAC cannons, or 4 MAC cannons. Tertiary armament is M75 Reapers. This 250 pods, 30 missiles per pod. Quaternary armament is the M96 Howler. I don't know what the Howler is. Anyways, that's 500 pods, 20 missiles per pod. And then the quinary armament is M976 Fortress 70mm PDN guns, and there's 830 of those on the ship. So any gun nuts that want some more information, they also have the side-by-side comparison. To put it in perspective, the length of the UNSC Infinity is about 5,700 meters or 5.7 kilometers. And then the Forward Unto Dawn is a measly 500 meters. So, needless to say, the Infinity is more than 10 times bigger than Forward Unto Dawn.
Oh, yeah. It's massive.
If that puts it in perspective for you.
Shit.
4 MAC cannons.
You should still have your voice in the Skype recording, though, right?
So, again, if you want to check those out, make sure you check that out on the bulletin for this week. Last thing on the list, and I mean last this time as last, is some more information on delivery methods for Forward Unto Dawn. So, it is going to be available on Blu-ray and DVD. It's going to be the full 90-minute feature of Forward Unto Dawn, complete from front to end. There's over an hour of behind-the-scenes stuff, story vignettes, audio commentary, visual effect models, a bunch of Easter eggs, and a whole lot more stuff that they haven't put in the bulletin just yet. But the retail price for those, for the Blu-ray, it's $28.99, and for the DVD, it's $22.99. I don't know if that's going to be the same stuff that comes with the limited edition. I'm assuming that with the limited edition, you're just going to get the Forward Unto Dawn feature in HD. I don't know if you'll actually get the Blu-ray or DVD offerings that come with this. So this may be something that you have to buy in addition to the limited edition in order to get the extra bonus content. I'll see if I can ping BS Angel on that and get more information for you guys, but until I do, I think you're gonna have to buy the DVD separate if you want the extra features. And some people don't. That's all right. That they have the limited edition, and that's all they'll need. But overall, that kind of gives you a little more information into your Spartan 4 for Halo 4 and war games and being on Infinity and everything. So if you have any questions about any of this stuff, make sure you let us know. Ask us. We will definitely comment and answer any and all questions that we possibly can. Anything from you, Greg, or Brent before we wrap this show up?
Yes.
Good to be back. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. We missed you, Greg.
I'm sure everybody...
We did. We missed you.
People have been asking about you, so...
Yeah, they want you back. They're like, where's Greg?
Well, I will try if you'll have me.
Oh, yeah.
More than happy
to. Come on whenever.
More than happy to.
Seems like Halo 4 really is going to be even more customizable as far as your gameplay experience than previous Halos.
Yeah.
And that's what 343 was shooting for.
Definitely a lot more customizable. The gameplay is definitely a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling the campaign is just going to be blow your mind, jaw-dropping awesome.
Well, I hope so. I hope something makes my jaw drop in that campaign.
I'm sure it will. We have bunch of people that absolutely love Halo for what it is in the storyline. I don't think there's going to be a dull moment in Halo 4 campaign.
I don't think they're going to disappoint as far as narrative goes.
No, it's going to be... We're all right, people. We're in a good position with the good people that are working at 343.
Thank you, 343.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for caring about the universe, Halo universe. Really? Because sometimes it felt like Bungie was just like kind of... They didn't want to expand on their universe too much. There's this real narrow view of the Halo universe that they had. And they had like the secret behind-the-scenes stuff that you never even knew about, but they weren't willing to put out there. And 343 seems like they're much more willing to kind of delve into the good stuff, the expanded universe stuff. We might be talking about that podcast pretty soon.
With the tie-in from the books and everything, yeah, that's definitely going to be... Frankie's even come out and said there's a lot tighter connection between the external fiction and the games this time.
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating. It's going to be nice to finally see a tie-in between the extended universe and the game.
Yes.
But with that said, it is time for us to wrap up the show. Thank you guys for listening. Hope we didn't bore you all too much with details. I think it was details that everyone has been waiting for and are excited to hear. Of course, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Zune if you haven't already. You can also find us on podtackler.com. That's our homepage. You can also, we have forums over there that you can go sign up for as well and join in on some of the discussions. We have Monday Night Matchmaking that is we're doing every Monday all the way up until the launch of Halo 4 minus November 5th because, like we said last podcast, everyone's probably going to be waiting in line for Halo 4. And if you're not, what's wrong with you?
Well, you might be at work. That might be what's wrong with you.
Okay.
It's going to be a busy day, man.
But who's honestly going to be at work at midnight?
People working the graveyard shift.
How does it work? This is a stupid question, and I'm sorry that this really is a stupid question. Like at midnight,
then why are you asking a stupid question?
At midnight, where we live, can people in California buy it at what would that be 9 o'clock their time?
Yes,
or do they have to wait?
No, it's midnight local.
Oh, so we get, for them, so we get like a 3 hour head start.
So actually, Australia gets it like 14 hours ahead of us.
Wait, I didn't think they got it till December.
There should be a law that Australians don't get to play video games. I mean, they're already working towards
that's what
that,
Australia
right?
wants, the country.
Yeah, I mean, like, the government, like, hates video games over there, right?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I love Australians. And I want
Australians
you to play video
cool.
games. And I want your government to stay out of video games and their ratings. So if you're an Aussie, know that I love you.
But, yeah, going back to... I forgot where I was. Oh, yes. You can also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/podtacular, Twitter, twitter.com/podtacular and our YouTube channel, youtube.com/podtactv, where we do pretty much weekly shows, if not bi-weekly, depending on kind of information that's coming out. Although with the recent influx of news, it's going to be fairly heavy loaded from here on out. May slow down here maybe 2 weeks or a week before the launch, but I have some videos that I'm trying to get out. Granted, I'm packing for New York Comic Con tonight, so I may not be many videos over the weekend, but there are two or three I have in mind that'll be down the pipe.
Are you going to meet up with JVB this time?
I will, hopefully. From the last two times that I have not seen them there.
is this the first time you're going to meet him?
In New York. I met him at Halo Fest.
Oh, okay.
But this will probably be the first time I see him in New York.
Hey, get a cream corn sandwich.
Yeah. Those are the good old days.
Mm-hmm. Dustin.
Good to good drops.
I just thought of somebody who's going to be working at midnight on the release of Halo 4.
President Obama?
You can't say anyone that works at 343.
GameStop employees.
And Best Buy employees like me.
And Best Buy employees. Basically retail employee.
Okay. See, I got you. Okay. Yes, you did get me.
Police officers.
Oh, yeah.
Fire.
What if you're a police officer, you like playing Halo? You can't just like...
Hey, get someone else on the force shot. That doesn't like Halo as much as you do.
Wait, I gotta back
the gotta go by the Best Buy. It's just a disturbance over.
Disturbance.
I wonder if you could get to the frontal.
No, you got me. You got me fair and square. I'll point. 1 point, Brent.
Say no game.
Is Halo 4 a game? What are you talking about?
Well, you think this is a game? I'm tired of these games.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. I know this show was very recent after our last show. The bulletin came out and it was a pretty big one. I was not expecting it to be this big, so I was planning on just waiting until next week. But since we have the big information, we decided to go ahead and do one anyways.
This one likes big.
On that note, we're going to say see you later. Goodbye, bye, folks.
Keep on fragging trucks.
Keep on fragging those mechs.